Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening, and do certainly give everyone a warm welcome in their service this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure everyone would agree that we really enjoyed the message this morning with the Brother Larry. It was a tremendous blessing, and I just really believe that, you know, God's brought Larry amongst us for a reason, for a purpose, and we just thank the Lord for that, that the Lord's done that. Praise God. John was having trouble with his machine the last night. I'm having trouble with mine tonight. Praise God. While I'm trying to find this, maybe we could turn in our Bible to 1 Peter and chapter 2, verse 24. And, you know, the Lord bless those as well listening in the night. I mentioned this morning about people watching in from Africa, and there was a fellow on this morning from Zimbabwe. Not only is he from Zimbabwe, but I'll be honest with you. I told Brother Mark some time back, I really was discouraged. I've never been so discouraged in all the time I've been preaching. And I'm telling you, I was just going through a time, and I showed Brother Mark the message this man sent me from Africa. And it really done something for me. And he was in the services when I preached here in 2003. I went back twice in 2005. And I preached in a place called Mashingo. There was almost 2,000 people in the service. And that's for the woman was delivered that had the real powerful demons. And that man was in the service, and he remembers the very things I preached on, and he messaged me them. And then that same time that I was preparing for the service that evening, when I got here, he sent me a message to my phone. And I haven't seen this fella, it's near 20 years. I found a note as well, what had been written from Africa, like testimonies that they had wrote out for me to read when I get home. And there was a prophecy in one of them. And everything the prophecy said and everything about the meetings back then, and that was such an encouragement for me, you know, what the Lord's done. And the brother was on listening this morning. And that's really someone. So you don't know where God's word goes, and I don't know if you'll be listening this evening, but if the brother's on from Zimbabwe, God bless you, brother. And anywhere else people's listening in from, or Sister Winifred was on as well from England. Brother George, Sister Winifred was on as well, and we really enjoyed Brother Larry. And I messaged a few people today, and the different people we were praying for that said they're feeling a lot better already than what they were yesterday. They're feeling better today. And they said Larry was clear this morning over the airwaves. So we just want to thank the Lord for that. And we just really appreciate the Lord. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. God's good. You can forget the things God does, but I'll just say this before I read this. In 1991, the Lord told me I would go to Africa. And I never went to Africa to 2003, and I was complaining all the time, saying, God, when am I going? And it was only really 12 years, but it seemed a long time. God can tell you something, and he mightn't do it when you think he's going to do it, but he will do it. And I was trying to count the other week how many times I've been, and I'm not sure how many times it is. It's quite a lot of times till Zimbabwe and Malawi and everything, and Kenya as well, Uganda, and maybe I'll go back again, the Lord willing. You know, I'd love to go to where Larry's from, just because Larry's from there. But it would be great to go, you know, as well, because where Larry comes from, there's a man from this country that went there, but was mightily used to God. And I don't know, whoever I talk to here, nobody seems to know much about him. And he was James McKeown. Not only was James McKeown mightily used of God, but George Jeffreys prayed for James McKeown and preached in his house in Antrim when James McKeown was only like these lads here, Elijah and Isaac. Them men of God prayed for James McKeown and spoke over him. And James McKeown started thousands of churches. Not hundreds, thousands. That's how mightily he was used of God. And you'll never hardly hear a thing about him. He's that humble of a man. Pentecostal. And that's how he was used of the Lord. So we just thank the Lord. God had done some tremendous things, hasn't it? And maybe you've heard of him, Brother John. I know he was with the Elam a way back. When the Elam was the Elam. The Elam at one time was a powerful movement. How many knows that? That's the truth. They were a powerful movement. George Jeffreys formed it. And you can take it from, I've read the history on it. My brother John was in it a long time back as well. And I'm telling you now, there was men of God in Elam. Them, Stephen Jeffreys, George Jeffreys, many of them. You know, George Jeffreys and Stephen preached all over Ireland here. And they saw a move of God. Let me just say this. George Jeffreys preached way down the country. And the denominations at that time ridiculed him because he preached in healing. And they said, these boys preaching in healing aren't seeing nobody saved. But the nominal church has said, we preach salvation, we don't believe in any of this other stuff. And the nominal churches had a mission and they saw 10 saved. And George Jeffreys in 1 week saw over 100 people converted to Christ. In 1 week. That's what God can do on man. It's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the difference. Amen. Of course, you preach and healing doesn't limit God. It's part of the gospel. Part of the gospel. Let's read this. 1 Peter 2:24. God bless each one. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes, wounds, we were healed. Then if we could go to Psalm 53. Everyone knows these scriptures and the things I'm going to say tonight. But, you know, I had a sermon all prepared on the coverings of the tabernacle, but I just felt laid this morning. This is what I was to preach. And Laurie mentioned a lot of things I'm going to mention tonight on healing. Psalm 53 verse 5 and 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now before we pray, I want to read you what Andrew Murray, great man of God, this is what he said. Sin had attacked and ruined the soul and body equally. Jesus came to save both, having taken sickness as well as sin on himself. He is in a position to set us free from one as well as the other. Let us bow our heads tonight, praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you this evening for your mercy and for your grace. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us with your word tonight. Bless everyone in this house and everyone tuned in. May you touch them with the power of God. May your word have free course. Help me, Lord, of clarity of speech. Keep me to the subject at hand. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. We know by turning away from God and disobedience, man lost the blessing and man lost the protection of God. And man came under the curse and the power of the devil. And in this way, the devil was able to bring upon man's body all forms of pain and sickness and weaknesses. However, God in his mercy still desires to bless man and to save him. Not only from a sin, but also from a sickness. of sins for our souls. I want to say at the very outset of this service tonight, and someone that came to me this evening, I was waiting here for the meeting to start, Jesus Christ never had a sick day. And the reason Jesus Christ never had a sick day, he was weary and he was tired because he took upon him the form of a man. He was in flesh. But he never had a sick day because he had no sin. And the reason he had never a sick day is because he had no sin. And before there was sin, there was no sickness. Sin produced sickness. And sin came about because of sickness. And just as Jesus Christ is God's remedy for sin, Jesus Christ is also God's remedy for the sickness of sin. And just as Jesus Christ bore in our body our infirmities and our iniquities, he bore our sicknesses and diseases. And he's able to save and he's able to heal. Now I want to go through some instructions tonight, and I preached this many times, and I went through this many times, and I won't read every individual scripture. You can look at them, and a brother put them up. And you know, man was deceived in the beginning. A brother Laurie mentioned it this morning, Genesis 3, verse 16 and 19. Man was deceived, and he was tempted. He was tempted, and he disobeyed God. And we know when we read Genesis chapter 3, we know who deceived man was Satan. The serpent was possessed with the devil, which is Satan. And the devil used the serpent to deceive man. And you say, but Eve, but the Bible says sin entered by Adam. It doesn't say sin entered by Eve. It says by one man sin came into the world. That man was Adam, because he willingly did it with his eyes open. And sin entered and the devil got to man. And man fell in sin. In 1 John 3 verse 8. Look at 1 John 3 verse 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Also in Revelations 12 and 9 as well, you read about the devil. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out on the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. You know, he actually gave trouble in heaven ever before he got down to the earth. Did you know that? He gave trouble in heaven. And not only did the devil give trouble in heaven, but a third part of the angels rebelled with him. And if you run over to the book of Jude, you'd see that there's angels reserved in chains to the last days. They're held captive because they obeyed the devil. And man obeyed the devil and man fell to death. Why did pain and sickness come then? In Genesis 3:16 tells us, because man disobeyed God. Because of man's disobedience, sin came and sickness came because of man's disobedience. Who brought sickness upon Job? In Job 2 verse 7, the Bible says Satan. Satan brought sickness upon Job. People have this idea that God makes people sick. Why would God send a Savior for sin and a Savior for health? And now why would God make people sick? It is the devil that brought sickness upon Job, not God. And the devil even had a big conversation with God about Job, because Job was upright, a perfect man in all his ways. And he says, God said to Job, have you considered my servant Job? Then the devil says, oh, but if you let me at him, basically, I'll sort him out for you. And you know the whole story, how that Job never sinned throughout it all. But my point this evening, and I don't want to get way ahead, is Satan brought sickness upon Job. Also in Luke chapter 3, we read of a woman with a spirit of infirmity. And my question is tonight, who brought sickness on this woman here? In Luke 13, my Bible says in verse 11 to 16, believe it's a spirit of Antichrist to do it. It's the opposite to the Bible. And you know the devil wants Christians to blame God.
Yes.
Amen. He wants you to accuse God and blame God. But the Word of God's the truth, isn't it? And God has given us His Word tonight. And Satan, by the spirit of infirmity, brought this woman into this condition. But the Lord healed her and the Lord delivered her. Also, you could read in Acts 10:38, who oppresses people. The book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38. Who oppresses people? It tells us here who does it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Do you know if Jesus put sickness on people and God anointed them to take it off them? Do you not think that would be a contradiction? Because I do. Jesus never was out of the Father's will. And the Father's will was to anoint Jesus and set the oppressed free. It's the devil that brings oppression. It's the devil that brings sickness. But Jesus Christ came to set the oppressed free. He was anointed of the Holy Ghost for that purpose. And here in Acts 10 verse 38, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, all that were oppressed of the devil. And if the Lord went about healing all, then we must preach all.
Yes.
A man said to another man some years ago, it might be God's will to heal a certain person, so I don't pray for them to be healed. I pray, Lord, if it's your will you heal them? And this fellow said, well, have you got a neighbor that you pray for to be saved? And he says, I have. And he says, you better stop, Will. And he says, what do you mean? He says, it might be God's will to save him. Oh, he says it is. And the fellow says, how do you know? He says, because the Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish. But the same Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So why would we try to do the opposite to what Jesus done? We don't preach salvation to the limited chosen few. We preach salvation to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Surely we believe in predestination, but we're not God.
Yes, amen.
God predestinates. But the Bible says we're to preach it to all. Jesus said this gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness. Then shall the end come. And whosoever shall call upon, the book of Acts, the book of Romans says, in the last days shall be saved. In Exodus 15:26, what does God promise to do for His people who obey Him? God promises in Acts 15 verse 26, He will put none of these diseases upon thee, but He'll heal you. This is what God promises. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And of God, under an old covenant, under a temporal sacrifice, could heal people. How much more will He heal you tonight under the new covenant, the new and living way, through the blood of Jesus Christ? A more perfect way. For if the old was perfect, there was no need for a new, but there was another. Doesn't the Bible start out in the book of Romans, but God in sundry times and divers manners speak in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. He will put none of these diseases upon thee, but He'll heal you. You know the thing about it, about when you're saved? Why did he get this evening? See, somebody could be saying, oh, but how come if a Christian gets sick? Well, did you ever know a Christian that committed sin? Certainly. Once you get saved, doesn't mean you're bulletproof in the sense you'll never ever commit another sin the rest of your days. You could never say that. Once you're saved, you're There's provision for healing. Just as there's provision for your forgiveness. Where is that provision? In the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is God provided way to wash your sins away. And Jesus Christ in his own body on the tree 2,000 years ago bore your sicknesses and bore your diseases. And he, by his stripes you were healed. Now what two things does God do for his people who serve him in Exodus 23:25? The Bible tells us he'll bless your water and your bread, and he'll take sickness from you. God will bless you. There might be times where it's difficult financially and making a living and all them things, but the Lord will bless you. David says, I'm young and I was old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. God will bless your bread and bless your water, and he will take sickness away from you. My friend that's watching this evening, maybe you're sick in your home, but the word of the Lord tonight is, I will take sickness away from you. So that means, give it a good boot out the door, it's leaving. Don't hold it in, let it go. Let it get on out of the road. Send it on its way. Amen. Testify that you're catching a healing. Praise God. Now, does sickness belong to God's people or his enemies? Deuteronomy 7:15 tells us that sickness does not belong to God's people, but the enemies of God's people. And the Lord shall take away sickness from among you. And I will put none of these diseases upon you when he's put the Egyptians. Look what it says. It's for your enemies. This is for the enemies of God, sickness. Not for God's people. How many knows that? That's the word of God. What two things did David say the Lord did for him in Psalms 103 verse 3? David gives us a wonderful scripture here. And David was inspired. I believe that Psalms is inspired. How many believes that tonight? Psalms 103 verse 3. It's a scripture you should have marked in your Bible. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. How many of your sins does the blood cleanse you from? All of them. How many diseases will the Lord heal you from? All. There's no affliction, there's no disease that the Lord can heal. He can heal anything and everything, because provision's been made for it. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, provision has been made. There's three things that the Apostle John tells us that he wishes for all Christians in 3 John chapter 2. The third epistle of John chapter 2. And maybe, you know, there's not many chapters in it. Maybe it's verse 2. Let us turn to it. Verse 2. 3 John. There it is. It's just the one chapter. I thought I'd made a mistake, but I'm right. Beloved, I wish you above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul dost prosper. What does John wish for all Christians? God actually wishes it. Because John's writing here inspired by the Spirit of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Word of God's inspired of God? Do you believe the Word of God? It's God in written form. That you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Your soul's prospering. If you're saved, your soul's prospering. It'll never be lost. It's prospering. And he wishes that you may prosper and be in good health. God wants you to be in good health. Now, how many of God's promises can we claim through faith in Christ? How many do you think we can claim in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 and verse 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preaching amongst you, by us, even by me, and I can't pronounce the first name, and Timotheus, was not yea and amen, but in him was yea. Look at the next verse. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God be us. All the promises. Yea and amen to every promise of God. Every promise of God can happen. That's how many you can claim. How many is that? There's an awful lot of promises of God, isn't there? But you can claim every one of them. You can claim Psalms 103, verse 3. That he'll forgive all your iniquities and heal all your diseases. That's a promise of God. John 16 is a promise of God. Sorry, Mark 16. Lay hands on the sick and the recover. That's a promise of God. You can claim it. You can amen it. You know what amen means? Let it be. You know, do you ever read the book of Psalms and you're coming that wee word, Selah? Do you know what that means? Pause for a moment. Meditate, think on it. That's what it means. That means when you're reading it, pause and think on it. Study it. Let it work on you. God's word can work on you because there's power in the word of God. All the promises of God. 1 John 3 and 8 tells us for what purpose Christ was manifested to the world for. 1 Epistle of John chapter 3 verse 8. Do you know why that Jesus Christ was manifested to the world? That he may destroy the works of the devil. Now one of them works was bringing about sickness, and I proved it was. Then Jesus came to destroy it. It's the devil that came to Job and brought sickness upon him. It was the devil through the serpent that came to Adam and Eve and made them fall and made them do what they'd done. That was the devil. But Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. So how can somebody preach that the thing that Jesus came to destroy could be God's will for you or me? It can't be. How could it be the will of God when Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil? Would it be God's will then that you get lost? No, it's not. Because my Bible said it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should be saved. Is that the word of God? He came to destroy the works of the devil. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil? In Acts 10:38, we've already read it. For what purpose did God anoint Christ with the Holy Spirit? God anointed Christ with the Holy Spirit to do good. Not to do bad, but to do good. And to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. Oppression is of the devil. Depression is of the devil too. Do you ever hear people saying, I'm depressed? You know a thing people say, and they shouldn't say it. Maybe some of us are guilty. If it's a wet day, that day will depress you. Many's ever heard people say that. That's a depressing day. Boy, I feel heavy because the sky's dark. Well, then they must feel light when the sun's out. I guarantee if you put a rope up on your young and fit, you young fellas, try this. Put a rope up for high jumps. Well, you do high jumps at school now. Long jump, high jump. Sports day. Many of you do that at school. Well, I guarantee if it's dark and you do a high jump and the sun's out the next day and you do a high jump, there'll be no difference. It's nonsense. And that makes no difference if it's dark or if it's light. You'll jump the same. It's just a sin. The people of science, it's not the Bible. But we want to have science that is the Bible. Amen. Now, I'm not saying I like a dark day, because I don't. When my son sends me pictures from New Zealand and the sun's splitting the trees and I'm out somewhere in the rain, lights are dark. You know what I mean? But you can still praise God in the midst of it. I know it's hard, but you have to. Amen. Boys, we need it. We need to run up against our Wigglesworth, don't we?
shouting and hollering and praying in tongues. That's some way to start the morning off, isn't it? Glory! Hallelujah!
Need a prayer like Elijah. He shorted the rain out. He told it to get back for 3.5 years.
Amen! Never rained for 3.5 years.
Praise God. But God's able to do anything, you know. We must come to the realization God can do anything. Amen. Because He's a supernatural God.
Don't just stop at that. He's a supernatural God with supernatural ability and with supernatural authority. He never changes. His presence is the same. His power is the same. His message is the same. And the power of the Lord was present to heal.
And I tell you, Jesus came for that purpose. He was anointed. Now, just hold that thought for one moment. If God anointed Jesus to go about doing good and healing all, and we say we're anointed with the same Holy Spirit, then we need to be expecting to do the same things.
Is that right? Isn't that the truth? If the Holy Spirit through Jesus did good and healed people, then the Holy Spirit through the church should continue the work that Jesus began. That's the book of Acts. All that Jesus began is to be continued. And we believe we've been restored back to the apostolic faith. Isn't that right? We believe the Spirit of Elijah has turned our hearts back to the original apostolic faith that the first church had. And we believe we're on the apostolic time still here. Why? Because of Acts 2:39.
Everybody knows Acts 2:38. But does everybody know Acts 2:39?
For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. The Holy Spirit's promised. And if the Holy Spirit through Jesus did good and healed all that were oppressed of the devil, then the Holy Spirit in you and in me, we need to be doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Don't be afraid to pray for somebody. No matter about the rules. I told you the other week, see the rules. Forget about them. For me, there's no rules.
I'm not serious now. I'm not abiding by any of them. I don't care what they are. I told my wife the same thing.
I'd be abiding by no rules made by a blonde haired pulled through the head
Prime Minister in England. I'll have to follow him now, he's a lunatic.
That's my opinion of him, and I've said it publicly, and I won't change it. And I've prayed that God removes him from office, and he's on his way out. The wee woman that was in before him, they ridiculed her. She was 10 times better than him. That's the honest truth about it.
Amen!
We need to pray God's put people in the right place. Pray for those in authority, and if the wrong one's in, pray them out.
Amen! Not the truth. Praise God.
Who will Christ come to? Whose will did Jesus do? Jesus didn't mix something up and do it. Jesus Christ in John 5 verse 30 and in John 6 38 it tells you the same thing. He did the will of the Father.
Jesus, if I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me.
Now remember these words this evening. As the Father sent me, so send I you.
Amen.
Amen? If we believe God has sent us, then we are not sent to do our own will, but we are sent to do God's will. And God showed us His will. Where did God show us His will? He wrote it. That by two immutable things, Hebrews, in which it's impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation. Now, testament is an old English word for will. So when we read the New Testament, we are reading the will of God. And if we want to know God's will in the subject, we read the will. And the will says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the will says, lay hands on the sick. get rid of that will. That's contrary to this will. Our will and his will could be two different things, but our will, casting down all vain imagination, all reasoning, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. What was the mind? To do the Father's will. That was the mindset. Jesus came to do the Father's will. He came to do good. To do good. Amen. A lot of people do good, but they leave the rest out. Doing good alone is not enough. People can do good just by itself and say, well, I've done good, I'll get to heaven. But you need to do all the will. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and do good as well. Do all the will. Praise God. Who worked the miracles in Christ? John 10:37-38 and John 14:10. You know what Jesus said? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Jesus did the works of his Father. When you saw Jesus deliver a woman from a spirit of infirmity, she's bent over for 18 years. That was doing the will of the Father. So don't tell me I have not the right to pray for somebody when they're sick, because this Bible commissions me according to Mark 16 and gives me the right. As the Father sent me, so send I you. If you say God sent you, you've been sent to do the will of the Father, and Jesus shows us the will of the Father. He displayed it. There's nobody done it better. They couldn't have. Amen? Greater work can no man do than these. Amen. Now no more. John 14:12. Greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father, and you know it means more in the sense of God is a universal body all over the world, but you couldn't literally do more greater than Jesus done. I know some people claim people have, but that's not accurate, because the people that say I've done it never done it. It was Christ done it in them. Am I? And you know the book of Acts? The Bible says the book of Acts is still continued, and it's not the Acts of the apostles, but it is the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the apostles. Acting out. It's still Jesus Christ. That's why his ministry is still going. The ministry of Jesus Christ is still going. It will continue till the bride's raptured. Caught up, taken away. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. God was in him. Think of this evening. Jesus said God was in him. And you know, when you get the Holy Spirit, how many know that's the same Spirit of God? Now, he was in Christ in fullness, but if you can get a portion, how many believes that? The Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost, cloven tongues, rested upon each one of them, they were filled. That's part of God, if you like, the same Spirit of God, yet God's not diminished. You can't chop God up and use him up. God's not like a cup of water when you drink it and that's it finished. God's eternal. More and more to God. Amen. But he said that the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead in Romans dwells in you. It will quicken your mortal body. The same Holy Ghost will quicken your mortal body. Jesus, the Father, worked the miracles. How many did Christ heal of those who came to him? In Matthew 8:16. Matthew 8:16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now somebody said that was Jesus. Nobody else could do that. But remember, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today and forever. Then think of this here for a moment. While Peter yet spake these words, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Because Peter had the same Spirit on him that was in Jesus. And that the same Spirit was on immediately they took him in the right hand and he leaped to his feet. Same works, comes with the same spirit. The real, genuine Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people today claim they're Pentecostal, but they're Plenty-crossed. That's the only thing. Now, there's real Pentecostal, we know that. But the real, genuine Holy Spirit will do the works of Jesus. Amen. Look at chapter 12, verse 15 of Matthew. Chapter 12, verse 15 of Matthew. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Now I'm coming to close in a moment, but there's so many scriptures. There's chapter 14, verse 35, 36. There's Luke 4, 40. There's Luke 6, 19. There's so many scriptures. Let's read this one. And when the man of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all the country and round about and brought unto him all the word diseased. Now, brethren, I'm going to be honest with you this evening. If God raised up a man today with a miracle ministry that wouldn't even bring people to him, do you know why? Because you'd have a wee boy over somewhere with a wee collar on him and he would take all his time preaching against it. He doesn't belong to our group. You need to hear our man. How do you know it would be God's will? And you know, the only time that Jesus couldn't work was when there was unbelief. Unbelief stops the move of God, kills the move of God. Unbelief. If you want to have faith, you need to associate with people of faith. There's no point reading the Beanie and the Dandy to get faith to raise the dead. Won't work. You need to read the Bible. You need to read a man of faith. Wigglesworth, Cole, Branham, Oral Roberts. Great men of God. God's generals. You need to listen to them, and women as well. Amy Samuel McPherson. There's many women of God as well that God used. You can't throw it over the heads and say it never happened. It took place. God has done it. Is that right? One of the greatest women for me, and she's not a preacher or anything like that, was Suzanne Wesley. She was a powerful woman. God really used that woman. There's so many wonderful women of God. And I'm coming to close. And they besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as have touched the border hem of his garment were made perfectly whole. One touch from the Lord was enough. I'm going to have to close. In Matthew 4, verse 23 and 24. How many kinds of sickness did Jesus heal? All manner of sickness and diseases. He healed all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Is he the same tonight? Is the Lord the same? My Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. God has never changed. That means his power is the same, presence is the same, and his message is the same. The ministry of Jesus must continue. It must continue. What is that ministry? Well, in simple terms, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I want to say to you, friend, this evening that's watching it in this broadcast, if somebody has told you it might not be God's will to heal you, you need to forget about that. I am telling you tonight on the authority of this Bible that it's Jesus Christ's will to heal. But I'm going to keep preaching it. I'll keep preaching it. Somebody says, what, I don't get healed? Well, that doesn't stop a fellow preaching salvation when people don't get saved. He'll keep preaching it. And I'll guarantee if he does, somewhere somebody will get saved. Isn't that right? And somebody's going to get healed tonight. What do you think of that? How do you know? Because God said it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you accept him as your Savior and he saves you, and if you accept him as your healer, he'll heal you. Let's stand our feet tonight. Let's bow our heads. Praise God. There's anyone even in this room, and every eye closed, every head bowed, and you need God's touch. Lift your hand up to the Lord, and God bless you, God bless you. And anyone watching in tonight that needs God's touch, believe God this evening. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He sent his word, and he healed them, delivered them. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. In the name that you've set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'll touch every hand that's raised in this room and online. In the name of Jesus Christ, heal that man, heal that woman, heal that boy, heal that girl, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them. Lord, your word said the very shadow of Peter, when it passed over them, they were healed. Lord, we know that skeptics would deny it today, but your Bible says it. We believe your word. Your word is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll confirm your word with signs and with wonders and miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. If there's a man or woman or a boy or girl tuned in tonight or listening that's not saved, may you bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth in Jesus' precious name. You said it would come to pass in the last days, whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Save and deliver, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Don't forget our prayer and Bible study Thursday nights. And the Lord bless each and every one. God bless you.
That little chorus, I believe God, it shall be done, even as he said. I was just thinking there while Tommy was saying about having somebody to come and preach it yesterday, several years ago when we were coming to church and the radio, David Hathaway was on, and he was giving the testimony that he had went some country and he was having a healing and deliverance campaign and tried to get the local churches together to come together and support him, but rather than not there, they were afraid of him taking people out of their meetings, and he had a meeting, and the next day they published a thing in the paper saying that he was the devil. And they done everything they could to discredit him for to get people not to go, but he said that the people was more interested in seeing the devil than they were going to their churches. they filled the auditorium. All the other churches were empty. but they all come to see. They were curious to see what the devil was like. But they didn't see no devil. But they seen plenty of devils going. So they did. And they had a very successful campaign. You know, David Hathaway is also a mighty man of God.
Amen.
He's healed himself of cancer and has seen many wonderful miracles. But I thought it was a good one. They thought they were doing something like supposed to be men of God and how they would slander another brother. You know, it's not a wise thing to do. And you know, in the Bible, I believe it was Nicodemus maybe, or was one of them men that gave advice when the persecuted disciples said, don't do this, he said, because if these men are not of God, then their works will come to nothing. But if they are of God, then you'll be found fighting against God, and who can do that? So it wasn't a wise thing to do. So if you're not sure, you're better saying nothing. But certainly don't stand in the road of somebody who's doing more than yourself or seeing the works of God and doing what Jesus done. And I thought that was wonderful tonight that the pastor said that Jesus was said of Jesus, he come to do the will of his Father, and as the Father sent me, so send I you. Not there, just wraps it up, doesn't it? That says it all. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus. I believe God, I believe God. It shall be done even as he said. Trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe. I believe God. I believe God. Move us on, my Lord, to move us on. We can hear the rustle in the mulberry tree.
Amen.
And I know I can.